We're doing the Navi Yeshayahu. We're up to what's called the 24th chapter. The Navi had described earlier how the island of Tsor would be destroyed, and ultimately when it would return, it would join the service of Hashem. And the Navi now turns to the people who are actually there. Chronologically, he's talking to the people of the first temple. They haven't yet been destroyed. And here the Navi is describing a future time when everything's going to be okay. So he turns to them and says, hey guys, wake up. I wasn't talking about tomorrow. What's about to happen here is destruction. Yes, I'm talking about a future time when after you will be destroyed, Tsar will be destroyed. After Tsar will be destroyed, after a period it will be rebuilt. And then they'll come back and serve God. But there's still a long way to go. Guess what's happening now, says the Navi. Hine Adonai bokeik haaretz uvoleka. He says, God's coming here and he's emptying out the land. All of Israel that you see now, says the Navi, it's going to be empty. Uvoleka, God's cutting down the land of Israel. He's destroying the land of Israel. Ve'ivafanea ve'ifitz yosheveha. Ve'ivafanea, he will create fear on the face of the leaders of the land of Israel. Paneha means the face of the land, which is a reference to the leaders. They represent the land. So ve'ivafanea, God will contort the faces of the land, which is a way of saying the leaders of the land will be gripped with fear. Vehifitz yosheveha, God will scatter the inhabitants of the land of Israel. Don't be so confident. In my previous prophecy, says Isaiah, that's yet to come. You have a few millennium to go. What's about to happen is destruction. Yes?
If he's telling them about things that are coming down and later generations are going to be okay, why is he telling it to them? Because for the next few generations, like, it's going to help them be
true. It's a good question for last week. Mm-hmm. Now we got to move forward. You're asking about last week's prophecy. Why was he telling them that? So that's a good question. But now we're here. Pasuk Beis. Vehaya ha'am kakohen. And when they will be exiled, so then there will be great equality. The nation will be equal to the priest because everyone's going to be exiled naked. There's going to be no difference. Vayacha'am kakohen. The nation will be like the priest. Ka'eved kadonav. The servant will be like the master. Kashivcha kagevilta. The maid will be like the woman master. Because they're all going to be equal. When they're being exiled, there's going to be no class distinction here. They're all going to walk in one file. Kakone kamocher. The one who purchases will equal the one who sells. In ancient times, you always had the upper hand if you were the seller, because money was only as good as what it could buy. And in those days, things weren't common. You didn't have an assembly line. So any item was precious. You needed a button. You had to hope a peddler would come by selling the button. If he had the button you needed him. Finished. You had no way of doing that. The amount of work it would take for you to produce the button was extraordinary. And things weren't ready on demand. So whenever you had an item to sell, you were rich. Any time there was a buy and a sell, there was an understanding that the seller is in a better position than the buyer. Because the buyer only has money, and money wasn't worth that much. That's why people used barter more. Because if you can't obtain what you'd like, you know, you had this here in Jerusalem last week when they poisoned the water here. So then you had a day where you didn't have water. You guys know that.
Who poisoned water?
That's a good question.
I didn't even know.
You didn't know.
Did you guys know
that? You don't live there. In Baca, in many areas of Jerusalem, you had a day and a half where the municipality said you can't use your water without boiling it for 2 minutes. They had discovered that by mistake, they're saying. But then again, they said that last time too. By mistake, the sewage went into the drinking water, and it was very dangerous to drink. So now suddenly you had large communities. You had over 1 million people who didn't have drinking water. They couldn't shower. They couldn't drink. They couldn't wash their fruits. Now suddenly water becomes a high commodity. No, it wasn't relevant to here. It was in the areas closer to East Jerusalem. So,
right.
So, what?
Jewish communities in East Jerusalem, no?
Jewish and not Jewish communities, both. Whatever. At any rate, when you don't have a commodity, so then it becomes very precious. And in ancient times, all commodities were precious because it was very hard to come by. So the Navi is saying, even in commerce, there will be equality because everyone will have nothing. Kakone kamocher, be it the buyer or the seller. Kamalve kalove, the lender or the borrower. Kanoshe kaasher noshevo. Be it the collector, the guy who's owed money, the noshe, the one who is always pursuing to collect his money, kaasher noshevo, or the person who is always being pursued, that he's got all these debts to pay. There'll be no difference. Great equality, says the Navi, because there'll be great destruction. Hibok, tibok. He's going back to that word he began his prophecy with. He says there'll be empty, empty. Ha'aretz v'hiboz tiboz. The land will be looted and looted thoroughly. Notice the poetic form here. This is Isaiah, probably the most poetic work we have. So the Navi is using poetic form. Ki Adonai diber et hadavar hazeh. For this is God's decree. So it's going to happen, says the Navi. Avila, navila, haaretz. The land will be both avila, which means in mourning, there'll be destruction and mourning, and navila, which means to wither. When a plant loses its life, so that's called, it is novel, the withering that represents a lack of life. So notice again the poetic form. The Navi uses two words which sound similar, but have a different meaning.
Which land is he speaking of right now?
Israel. He's describing the destruction of the first temple. Avila, navila, haaretz. The land will mourn and be destroyed. The land will wither. Umlila, navila, tevel. Umlila could mean to be... downtrodden. The Jews in the exile were called Hayeudim Haumlalim. In modern Hebrew, umlal means miserable. But in ancient Hebrew, the word umlal means to be humbled, to be lowered. So umlila will be cut down. Navila tevel, the land that was originally inhabited will now be cut down, will wither, will become desolate. You'll no longer have civilization there. Umlalu merom am haaretz. The leaders of the land, the aristocracy, they too will be cut down. Va'aretz chanefa tachat yosheveha. And the land will practice sycophancy towards its inhabitants. To be a sycophant is what they call in modern English to sweet talk someone. You play it as though you're nice to them, but really you're not. You know, your boss walks in on your birthday party and you really didn't want him there, and you put on this big smile and say, "I'm so happy you came." Okay.
So in modern Yiddish, you'd call it to bagel someone.
Maybe, I don't know. I don't know.
Is that the first type of bagel?
So that's called chanifa. Chanifa is when you to be a sycophant. You're sweet talking someone. You're playing. I'm so happy you're here. It's so great to see you. You make the use nice words to make the person feel as though you're their fan, but really you're not. You just want to exploit the person, or you stand to gain from it.
Flattery.
Okay, yeah, flattery is a form of that. So, the aretz chanefa tachat yosheveah. The land. So the key here is that it's not true. Flattery can be an exaggeration. Sycophancy is where I'm just saying it for that purpose. I'm not exaggerating. I have no real feeling for the person, but I have what to gain from it. So I'm gonna say positive things.
The carnivals are there when they try to call you over and all that stuff like that.
No. When you think your boss is let's take an example. You're in shul. Your boss was chazan for Musaf, and he did the worst job in the world. And you walk over to him and say, "I love it when you're chazan. You do the best job. It's amazing." Okay, there's no truth to it. You just want to benefit from it. Okay, so that's chanifa. So va'aretz chanifa tachat yosheveha, the land will practice that behavior in that. It'll look as though the land is producing grain, but it really won't. So they're going to watch the grain grow, and suddenly they're going to discover that all the stalks that are out in the field are empty. There's no grain. And that's what our sages taught us, that when it came time for the destruction, suddenly they went out to harvest, and there was no food to harvest. There was empty stalks. The land was indicating, "I'm not interested. You're done here." Va'aretz chanefa. Tachat yosheveha, under its inhabitants, the land, or because of its inhabitants, the land adopted this practice. Ki aviru torot chalefuchok, because the nation has transgressed the Torahs. Notice the multiple, because we have two Torahs, right? The written law and the oral law. They've transgressed both. Chalefuchok, they have transgress the statutes of the Torah. Heiferu berit olam. They've transgressed our eternal covenant. What is the eternal covenant? The Torah.
Why does it need to mention the Torah?
Oh, so why does it mention the Torah from all these different aspects? So here, for those types of questions, the place to look is the Malbim. There are two approaches when we learn Tanakh and Yeshaya specifically. Rashi's approach is what we might call Pshat. Rashi learns that when the Pasuk will tell you three different terms to describe the same thing, so it's using poetic form. Rashi says, okay, so he spoke about the Torah, the statutes, the covenant. There are three aspects of the same thing, and that's Isaiah's poetic form. The Malbim, in his introduction to Yeshaya, writes, "No such thing. There are no two words that mean the same thing in Hebrew. And if you think they do, then that just indicates that you don't fully understand what the two words mean." And that's a phenomenal thing to say in the beginning of Isaiah, because the whole book of Isaiah is what would seem to be repetitive. The book says the same idea using four or five different terms. Every pasuk we've had that now. So the Malbim took it upon himself to define every single word in Isaiah and show you the difference between every word that looks similar. And his commentary is divided into two sections. One is an analysis of the words to indicate why are these two words different. If we're going to talk about avla and navela, if we're going to talk about avru, chalfu, heferu, there were three terms used to describe how we transgressed the Torah. One term was avru torot, the second term was chalefuchok, the third term was heferu. They transgressed, they passed up, or they annulled the covenant. And then you had three descriptions of what they were transgressing. So Rashi learns it's all a description of Torah. The Malbim goes into the difference between all of them. Yeah, I don't know if everyone here wants us to go into that level of depth. Doesn't seem that way. How many people want us to go into the Malbim on this pasuk? Okay, again, a show of hands, just so I see if we have the majority. Okay, so we'll go into it, fine. So the Malbim, again, he's not going to learn like Rashi. The Malbim, I'll I'll read and summarize the Malbim. The Malbim says like this. Torah, when the Pasuk begins by saying they transgressed Torah, so that's talking about what we get from heaven. The Torah that comes from heaven. Chok, he says, is a reference to the systems we have set up, which really every society sets up. You see, Joseph also had a chok. He had a legal system. In the book of Judges, we discuss a legal system that has nothing to do with Torah. So he says, very often, the word chok is not only a reference to statutes, the way we are accustomed that the word chok means a mitzvah that we wouldn't logically institute, but on the contrary, the word chok can sometimes mean those laws that every society sets up for itself. So the Navi began by saying, Averut Torah, Torot, they transgressed what God gave. Chalefu chok, they passed up on the most basic civil order that every society has. And then he says, so the second level is even worse. They're stealing from one another, they're murdering. So that's the second level. And then Heferu Brit Olam, what does that mean? They transgress the eternal covenant. So he says, very often Brit Olam is a reference to the most natural covenant, the most natural agreement between humanity. The most natural basic level of agreement that humans have in order to be able to coexist, they annulled that too. And that's a reference to the murder that was going on. So first level, they transgressed Torah. Second level, they transgressed the laws of civilization, which were a part of Israel at the time. And the final level is they transgress the most basic agreements that human beings have with one another in the fact that Jerusalem was filled with murder. That's a Berit Olam, the covenants of the world, which is a reference, the Malbim says, to the most basic agreements human beings have to be able to coexist. Okay? We didn't go into the three terms of transgression, but at least the three levels of Torah. Yeah. I think Torah means the 613 mitzvot. It means they weren't keeping Pesach, they weren't keeping Shabbos, they weren't donning tefillin every morning. That's true. But you're right that by transgressing the other points, they were also transgressing Torah. But a person who transgresses Shabbos is transgressing Torah, even though he's not murdering. So the Navi is building up the case against them. He begins by saying they didn't keep the Torah. And then he says, even the things in the Torah that are a basic element of society, like being honest, yeah, even without the Torah you'd have that. And then he says they even went against the components of Torah, which are the most basic agreements that humanity lives by.
If I start in the opposite sense, so we have somewhere on the planet, law between mother love the son, something like that, the children. That is the norm, even the animals use that in some point. And after that we have, in every society that start to build a society, they have law between. And the upper level will be Torah with a very precise law that you have. Can it be like that?
Yeah. Say the Gemara. Yeah. The... Yeah. Okay, so we'll pick up here with that.